22. The Darkness Within. I am no philosopher to intrigue you with piercing questions. From Oathbringer, Preface. Marais. His face was crisscrossed by scars, one of which deformed his upper lip. Instead of his usual fashionable clothing, today he wore a Sadeus uniform, with a breastplate and a simple skullcap helm. He looked exactly like the other soldiers they'd passed, save for that face, and the chicken on his shoulder. A chicken? It was one of the stranger varieties, pure green and sleek, with a wicked beak. It looked much more like a predator than the bumbling things she'd seen sold in cages at markets. But seriously, who walked around with a pet chicken? They were for eating, right? Adolin noted the chicken and raised an eyebrow, but Marais didn't give any sign that he knew Shallan. He slouched like the other soldiers, holding a halberd and glaring at Adolin. ELA hadn't set out chairs for them. She sat with her hands in her lap, sleeved safe hand beneath her free hand, lit by lamps on pedestals at either side of the room. She looked particularly vengeful by that unnatural flickering light. "Did you know," ELA said, "that after white spines make a kill, they will eat, then hide near the carcass?"
"It's one of the dangers in hunting them, Brightness," Adolin said. "You assume that you're on the beast's trail, but it might be lurking nearby."
"I used to wonder at this behavior, until I realized the kill will attract scavengers, and the white spine is not picky. The ones that come to feast on its leavings become another meal themselves."
The implication of the conversation seemed clear to Shallan. "Why have you returned to the scene of the kill, Colin?"
"We want you to know, Brightness," Adolin said, "that we take the murder of a High Prince very seriously. We are doing everything we can to prevent this from happening again."
"Oh, Adolin." "Of course you are," ELA said. "The other High Princes are now too afraid to stand up to you." "Yes, he'd walked right into that one." But Shallan didn't take over. This was Adolin's task, and he'd invited her for support, not to speak for him. Honestly, she wouldn't be doing much better. She'd just be making different mistakes.
"Can you tell us of anyone who might have had the opportunity and motive for killing your husband?" Adolin said. "Other than my father, Brightness."
"So even you admit that it's strange," Adolin snapped.
"My mother always said she thought you were clever. She admired you and wished she had your wit. Yet here I see no proof of that. Honestly, do you really think that my father would withstand Sadeus's insults for years? Whether his betrayal on the plains, suffer that dueling fiasco, only to assassinate him now? Once Sadeus was proven wrong about the Voidbringers and my father's position is secure? We both know my father wasn't behind your husband's death. To claim otherwise is simple idiocy."
Shallan started. She hadn't expected that from Adolin's lips. Strikingly, it seemed to her to be the precise thing he'd needed to say. Cut away the courtly language. Deliver the straight and earnest truth.
ELA leaned forward, inspecting Adolin and chewing on his words. If there was one thing Adolin could convey, it was authenticity. "Fetch him a chair," ELA said to Marais.
"Yes, Brightness," he said,
his voice thick with a rural accent that bordered on Herdazian.
ELA then looked to Shallan. "And you, make yourself useful. There are teas warming in the side room."
Shallan sniffed at the treatment. She was no longer some inconsequential ward to be ordered about. However, Marais lurched off in the same direction she'd been told to go, so Shallan bore the indignity and stalked after him. The next room was much smaller, cut out of the same stone as the others, but with a muted pattern of strata. Oranges and reds that blended together so evenly you could almost pretend the wall was all one hue. ELA's people had been using it for storage, as evidenced by the chairs in one corner. Shallan ignored the warm jugs of tea heating on fabrials on the counter and stepped close to Marais.
"What are you doing here?"
she hissed at him. His chicken chirped softly, as if in agitation.
"I'm keeping an eye on that one,"
he said, nodding toward the other room. Here his voice became refined, losing the rural edge.
"We have interest in her."
"So she's not one of you?" Shallan asked. "She's not a ghost blood?"
"No,"
he said, eyes narrowing. "She and her husband were too wild a variable for us to invite. Their motives are their own. I don't think they align to those of anyone else, human or listener."
"The fact that their creme didn't enter into it, I suppose."
"Morality is an axis that doesn't interest us," Marais said calmly. "Only loyalty and power are relevant, for morality is as ephemeral as the changing weather. It depends upon the angle from which you view it. You will see as you work with us that I am right."
"I'm not one of you,"
Shallan hissed. "For one so insistent," Marais said, picking up a chair. "You were certainly free in using our symbol last night." Shallan froze, then blushed furiously. "So he knew about that?" "Your hunt is worthy," Marais said, "and you are allowed to rely upon our authority to achieve your goals. That is a benefit of your membership, so long as you do not abuse it."
"And my brothers? Where are they? You promised to deliver them to me."
"Patience, little knife. It has been but a few weeks since we rescued them. You will see my word fulfilled in that matter. Regardless, I have a task for you."
"A task?" Shallan snapped, causing the chicken to chirp at her again. "Marais, I'm not going to do some task for you people. You killed Yasna."
"An enemy combatant," Marais said.
"Oh, don't look at me like that. You know full well what that woman was capable of and what she got herself into by attacking us. Do you blame your wonderfully moral Blackthorn for what he did in war? The countless people he slaughtered?"
"Don't deflect your evils by pointing out the faults of others," Shallan said. "I'm not going to further your cause. I don't care how much you demand that I soul cast for you, I'm not going to do it."
"So quick to insist, yet you acknowledge your debt. One soul caster lost, destroyed. But we forgive these things, for missions undertaken. And before you object again, know that the task we require of you is one you're already undertaking. Surely you have sensed the darkness in this place, the wrongness."
Shallan looked about the small room, flickering with shadows from a few candles on the counter.
"Your task," Marais said, "is to secure this location. Urethiru must remain strong if we are to properly use the advent of the Voidbringers."
"Use them?"
"Yes," Marais said. "This is a power we will control, but we must not let either side gain dominance yet. Secure Urethiru, hunt the source of the darkness you feel, and expunge it. This is your task. And for it, I will give payment in information."
He leaned closer to her and spoke a single word.
"Helleran."
He lifted the chair and walked out, adopting a more bumbling gait, stumbling and almost dropping the chair. Shallan stood there, stunned. Helleran. Her eldest brother had died in Alethkar, where he'd been for mysterious reasons.
"Storms! What did Marais know?"
She glared after him, outraged. "How dare he tease with that name?"
"Don't focus on Helleran right now."
Those were dangerous thoughts, and she could not become Vale now. Shallan poured herself and Adolin cups of tea, then grabbed a chair under her arm and awkwardly navigated back out. She sat down beside Adolin, then handed him a cup. She took a sip and smiled at Iole, who glared at her, then directed Marais to fetch a cup.
"I think," Iole said to Adolin,
that if you honestly wish to solve this crime, you won't be looking at my husband's former enemies. Nobody had the opportunity or motives that you would find in your war camp.
Adolin sighed.
We established that... I'm not saying Dalinar did this, ELA said. She seemed calm, but she gripped the sides of her chair with white-knuckled hands. And her eyes... Makeup could not hide the redness. She'd been crying. She was truly upset. Unless it was an act. I could fake crying, Shallan thought. If I knew that someone was coming to see me and if I believed the act would strengthen my position.
Then what are you saying? Adolin asked.
History is rife with examples of soldiers assuming orders when there were none, ELA said. I agree that Dalinar would never knife an old friend in dark quarters. His soldiers may not be so inhibited. You want to know who did this? Adolin Colin? Look among your own ranks. I would wager the princedom that somewhere in the Colin army is a man who thought to do his high prince a service.
And the other murders? Shallan said.
I do not know the mind of this person, ELA said. Maybe they have a taste for it now? In any case, I think we can agree this meeting serves no further purpose.
She stood up.
Good day, Adolin Colin. I hope you will share what you discover with me so that my own investigator can be better informed.
I suppose, Adolin said, standing. Who is leading your investigation? I'll send him reports.
His name is Meridas Amaram. I believe you know him.
Shallan gaped.
Amaram? High Marshal Amaram? Of course, ELA said. He is among my husband's most acclaimed generals.
Amaram.
He'd killed her brother. She glanced at Marais, who kept his expression neutral.
Storms! What did he know?
She still didn't understand where Helleran had gotten his shard blade. What had led him to clash with Amaram in the first place?
Amaram is here? Adolin asked. When?
He arrived with the last caravan and scavenging crew that you brought through the Oath Gate. He didn't make himself known to the tower, but to me alone. We have been seeing to his needs, as he was caught out in a storm with his attendants. He assures me he will return to duty soon and will make finding my husband's murderer a priority.
I see, Adolin said.
He looked to Shallan and she nodded, still stunned. Together they collected her soldiers from right inside the door and left into the hallway beyond.
Amaram, Adolin hissed. Bridge Boy isn't going to be happy about this. They have a vendetta, those two.
Not just Kaladin.
Father originally appointed Amaram to refound the Knights Radiant, Adolin continued. If ELA has taken him in after he was so soundly discredited. The mere act of it calls Father a liar, doesn't it?
Shallan?
She shook herself and took a deep breath.
Helleran was long dead.
She would worry about getting answers from Marais later.
It depends on how she spins things, she said softly, walking beside Adolin. But yes, she implies that Dalinar is at the least overly judgmental in his treatment of Amaram. She's reinforcing her side as an alternative to your father's rule.
Adolin sighed. I'd have thought that without Sadeas, maybe it would get easier.
Politics is involved, Adolin. So by definition, it can't be easy.
She took his arm, wrapping hers around it as they passed another group of hostile guards.
I'm terrible at this, Adolin said softly.
I got so annoyed in there I almost punched her. You watch, Shallan. I'll ruin this.
Will you? Because I think you're right about there being multiple killers.
What? Really?
She nodded.
I heard some things while I was out last night.
When you weren't staggering around drunk, you mean?
I'll have you know I'm a very graceful drunk, Adolin Colin. Let's go.
She trailed off as a pair of scribes ran past in the hallway, heading toward ELA's rooms at a shocking speed. Guards marched after them.
Adolin caught one by the arm, nearly provoking a fight as the man cursed at the blue uniform. The fellow fortunately recognized Adolin's face and held himself back, hand moving off the axe in a sling to his side.
"Bright Lord," the man said, reluctant. "What is this?" Adolin said.
He nodded down the hall.
"Why is everyone suddenly talking at that guard post farther along?" "News from the coast," the guard finally said. "Stormwall spotted in New Natanen, the high storms. They've returned.